My name is Carol Spendell. I'm an adjunct faculty member in the Department of English. I've taught here since 1989. I'm also an alumna. I teach nonfiction writing, and for the past 4 years, I have researched and written a book about the controversy over American Indian sports mascots. Entitled Dancing at Halftime, it is forthcoming in August from New York University Press. When I started the book, I was not convinced either way. But after years of research and interviews, and after following Native American activists and educators around as they speak to state legislators, school boards, and sports fans, I have made up my mind on this issue. Since you have not seen this for yourself, I want to tell you that I have been shocked at how these Indian people are received. Again and again, I observed as they stated their genuine concerns about the effects of stereotyping on their children and young people. Again and again, I watched and listened as they said they were offended. They were ignored, discounted, and angrily attacked for speaking up. How can this be when sports fans, school boards, and university trustees all claim to honor and respect American Indians? This contradiction between the admiration fans genuinely feel for this fictional character and the way they treat living, breathing American Indian people is at the very dark heart of this debate. What has been lacking in this debate for 10 years is historical context. Unfortunately, I can't give you that in 4 minutes. I would just like to say quickly that Americans have divided Indians into two categories, and here I speak of non-Indian Americans, the real and the imaginary. Historically, we have shown little interest in real Indian people. When they speak up, we are quick to dismiss them. Not full-blooded, not traditional, given up their Indian ways, belong to the wrong tribe. We have created laws forcing them to give up their cultures and religions, and then refuse to recognize them as real Indians when their cultures changed, as all human cultures do constantly. This ambivalence of ours has put Indian people in a real bind. Chief Illiniwek is an imaginary Indian, the kind we have been interested in. Where did he come from? I hear Pine Ridge, home of the Oglala Sioux. That is where we purchased his costume. But his performance cannot be traced to any tribal tradition. It comes to us straight from Buffalo Bill and the Wild West Show. Wild West shows were part of the American circus tradition. They traveled to small towns all over the country between 1900 and 1920, putting on one or two shows under a big top and then moving on. Buffalo Bill and other circus owners employed Indians, mostly from the Sioux Nation, as actors. In another parallel with the University of Illinois, Buffalo Bill claimed his sketches were historically accurate, educational, and morally uplifting. The Wild West shows spawned three forms of entertainment that still exist today: the Western, the rodeo, and the halftime performance. In 1926, while Boy Scouts here were pretending to be Indians and dancing publicly, American Indians were forbidden by law to dance themselves. They did not stop dancing, of course, but they had to do so surreptitiously or else risk punishment. It was not until 1934 and the passage of the Indian Reorganization Act that American Indians could perform their own dances on their own reservation without risking punishment. Buffalo Bill promoted the idea that his show was historical to make a buck. He was all showman, and he knew what business he was in, show business. We are here at a public university. Buffalo Bill died in 1917. You're here in 2000. Please have the courage and let's end this Wild West show.